Court is ready to hear argument from petitioners in Valenzuela versus Pacino.
May it please the Court, Mr. William Burton, who will represent the petitioner, has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the Court, I'm Charles Bundren, and along with my co-counsel, Mr. Cliff Tarski, we together represent the petitioners before the Court today. They were the appellants in the Court of Appeals and the defendants in the trial court. For simplicity's sake, I will refer to the petitioners as the defendants as they were in the trial court. I will address the entire argument before the Court today. I've requested 5 minutes for rebuttal. The defendants were sued for negligent infliction of mental anguish arising out of picketing activity that occurred in the residential neighborhood in Corpus Christi. Plaintiffs sought and obtained findings from the jury and an award of damages in excess of $800,000 against the defendants. On appeal, the Court of Appeals reversed the damage award but affirmed the district court's permanent injunction against the picketing activities. The district court had enjoined the defendants from all picketing activities within 400 feet of the center lot of the plaintiff's home. Defendants request that this court affirm the denial of the damages, but reverse and dissolve the permanent injunction entered by the district court. The facts of this case are fairly simple, but they are important in the court's determination of this case because facts in a case such as this are extremely important in making the close call with respect to First Amendment activities. In April of 1988, the defendants picketed in the residential neighborhood in and around and surrounding the plaintiff's home on 4 occasions. Most of the pickets occurred in the afternoon hours during the week. The picketing activity occurred solely, and this is undisputed in the record, solely upon public property. There was no evidence of any trespass or any attempt to trespass. There was no nuisance. There was no loud and raucous noise.
If there had been noise, whether it was loud or raucous, or just simply asking people to honk if they were against abortion, could that have been enjoined?
I believe, Your Honor, if the city of Corpus Christi, and I'm not familiar entirely with their ordinances, but many cities have ordinances that do control loud and raucous noise. And if the court found that they were in violation of that ordinance, then the court could have enjoined that specific activity in compliance with the ordinance.
But just the presence of substantial noise without any city ordinance would give rise to no remedy to the homeowner to protect himself or herself from noisy disturbance?
If it had risen to the level of a nuisance, then the court could have enjoined a nuisance absence in ordinance, either the city ordinance or a state legislative ordinance. But simple noise itself does not rise to the level of a nuisance unless the court so finds.
And that nuisance action could have been brought by the doctor. It would not have required the city to be involved.
That is correct, Your Honor, if it had been a nuisance and had risen to that level of a nuisance. However, in this case, the plaintiff did not plead nor prove nor offer issues to the jury with respect to a nuisance.
What was the evidence regarding the proximity of the picketing to the doctor's home?
The picketing occurred, Your Honor, up and down the block and in the cul-de-sac surrounding the home. The picketing occurred on the public sidewalk outside of the home.
How many feet?
It was a normal, as I recall, and I don't know if this is in the record or not, but I did review the site prior to the trial, and it's a normal lot, approximately 20 to 30 feet from the front building line of the property to the area where the picketing was occurring.
You don't question the trial court's ability to grant some type of injunction with regard to the proximity and of the picketing, do you?
I do, Your Honor, under these facts. Under some facts, as Justice Doggett raised, with loud and raucous noise that creates a nuisance, there certainly is an ability of a trial court to enjoin that activity. But under these facts, I do question the ability of the trial court to enter an injunction absent an ordinance that has been violated or absent some statement from the Texas legislature by means of some statute that attempts to regulate residential picketing.
What if it's striking airline pilots who are in the airport terminal facility, and as passengers enter the airplane, they're there at the entrance ramp to harass passengers as part of their picketing activities? Does the trial court have the authority to grant an injunction limiting their activity in terms of the proximity to the operation of business?
I believe that the Texas legislature has passed a mass picketing statute which would control those types of activities and limit the area of labor picketing within certain areas of the business and a certain number of people. So the legislature has spoken as to that particular fact situation that you raise.
And
The legislature, however, has not spoken, and the city of Corpus Christi has not spoken by ordinance or legislation with respect to residential picketing.
If there were an ordinance by the city of Corpus Christi that limited or even entirely eliminated this picketing along the sidewalk, it is your contention that that would be an entirely different situation.
It would be an entirely different situation, and the court would be forced, and you would be forced, as this court would be, to review the Supreme Court's decision in Frisbee. If it was an entire ban of residential picketing, it would, of course, violate Frisbee. Because as the court is well aware, from the briefs that have been submitted by the parties, Frisbee requires a very narrow interpretation, a very narrow decision of the Supreme Court of the United States upheld the ordinance. And it was only with this narrow construction that the ordinance in Frisbee was upheld. And that is that the picketing must be directed or focused at a particular residence, and more importantly, which is absent from this case, is that the picketing must occur solely in front of a particular residence. And an ordinance which states those particular types of restraints on picketing would be upheld under the Frisbee rationale. All residential picketing, a ban on all residential picketing, or as in this case, an injunction that bans all picketing within 400 feet of the center line of the ordinance violates the Supreme Court's decision of Frisbee, and for that reason should be dissolved.
Counsel, we have here a clash between the First Amendment right to free speech and the right to privacy. Why should not Dr. Aquino's rights to privacy of himself and his family be paramount to the rights of your clients to freedom of expression?
I believe, Your Honor, that they would had it not been for the First Amendment. When the forefathers wrote the First Amendment, they understood that in giving the protection that they gave to the right of speech, that there would oftentimes be speech that would be uncomfortable. There would be speech that would cause even coercion. Our brief is full of the cases which substantiate and uphold the right of people to speak on controversial issues in public arenas, even though it makes people uncomfortable. Consequently, the First Amendment becomes paramount to the rights of an individual in their home so long as there has been no other independent tort, which there has not been in this case, since there's been no trespass in this case, since there's been no nuisance in this case.
What if there were a finding of nuisance?
If there were a finding of nuisance, Your Honor, I believe that the district court would have had the power to enjoin the specific act of nuisance. But there was no finding of nuisance here.
What if the finding were that the existence of the people on the sidewalk outside Dr. Aquino's house was a nuisance?
I believe, Your Honor, that finding would conflict with the First Amendment, given the facts of this case. There would have to be more than mere speech for there to be a nuisance. If there is only speech and nothing more, no blockage of the ingress and egress, no loud and raucous noise, as Justice Doggett raised in this factual situation, no other interruption other than the pure speech, then there could not be legally a finding of nuisance. It would not be present. The First Amendment would protect that kind of activity up to that point. Before the court today, as the court is well aware, is a case of first impression before the Supreme Court of Texas. The court is called upon today to decide whether or not the First Amendment of the United States Constitution and Article 1, Section 8 of our own state's Constitution shields the speech of the defendants in this particular situation under this particular fact. It is undisputed, it was agreed to by the parties at trial, that the activities which the defendants engaged in occurred solely on public property and that they were peaceful, that there was no disruption of the peace in the neighborhood. It was a stipulation at trial to that extent. The plaintiffs in their argument before the court and in their brief before the court clearly recognized the speech rights of the defendants. What the plaintiffs have attempted to do in their argument before the court is to transform those speech rights into what the plaintiffs contend are really conduct and to eliminate the protections of the First Amendment to that conduct. The speech rights the plaintiff's contention with respect to the speech rights in their brief contend that picketing, although it is clearly and long has been held to be a First Amendment activity, that picketing does not have the same level of protection as other First Amendment rights. This is the cornerstone of the plaintiff's case. It's an attempt to change from speech, what is speech, what has been speech, what the courts have clearly recognized as speech, into conduct. And in the process of convincing this court that my clients had engaged in conduct and not speech, thereby avoiding the protections of the First Amendment. I would call the court's attention to the application for the writ of error filed by the plaintiff in this case at 10, in which this conclusion is reached. And in the application filed by the plaintiff concludes, quote, picketing is not entitled to the same degree of protection as pure speech under the First Amendment. Again, the plaintiff is attempting to have the court transform the activities of the defendants from speech to conduct.
You mentioned both the First Amendment and the Texas Constitution, and I'm interested in the latter. Much of your brief deals with working around Frisbee against Schultz, which was, of course, severely criticized by the dissent in that case. It's been criticized as providing weakened protection for First Amendment liberties by a number of commentators. Only this summer, the Third Circuit, in the Northeast Women's Center against McGonigal case, rejected basically every argument that you're making in its interpretation and application of Frisbee and applying a what they termed a content-neutral injunction. Only a couple of weeks ago, the Supreme Court denied cert, as I know you're aware, at Hirsch against Atlanta, where an injunction dealing with the public nuisance was upheld. In light of all that, isn't the best protection for South Texans for life and others concerned with civil liberties to rely on the Texas Constitution in the development of an independent jurisprudence separate from the apparent declining interest in civil liberties found in the federal judiciary?
Your Honor, as you're well aware, we pled the protections of the Texas Article 1, Section 8. We pled that, we argued that, we cited that in our brief. Mr. Weatherford raised in a letter to the court just this last week the fact that we had argued that it was coextensive. There's very little jurisprudence from the Supreme Court of Texas with respect to the protections of Article 1, Section 8 and how far they go in the context, especially of residential picketing. This is a case of first impression. I believe that this court, should it choose to do so, could clearly find that the protections of our Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, go beyond the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, and that they protect the types of activities which the defendants engaged in here.
And of course, if it did that on an independent and adequate grounds, it could never be touched or reversed by a federal court.
It could not unless there was some federal right that was in the supremacy to the right of the citizens here.
Well, that gives rise to another line of questions, but before getting into that, the problem, of course, with analyzing the state constitution is that other than your reference to it and other than your reference to Ex parte Tucker, you provided us no briefing. In fact, to the point that your opponent has suggested you waived this issue, is there other briefing that you plan to offer the court with reference to the history and development of our state constitution and whether it provides greater and more extensive guarantees to people like your clients than the federal constitution?
Your Honor, we could offer briefing to the court should the court desire briefing in that area. We did cite the Ex parte Tucker case. We did argue that the Article 1, Section 8 protected our rights. It is my feeling that the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, despite these cases because they're factually distinctive from our case, that the First Amendment does give us adequate protection. If the court believes that the First Amendment to the United States Constitution is inadequate to protect the activities, we have no objection to providing post-submission briefing to the court specifically on the issue of the Texas Constitution.
The court's not going to make a, not going to take a poll and make such a preliminary ruling at this stage, but if you desire to submit post-submission briefing, you may do so. And you can request an amount of time. Obviously, we like to get to work on our cases, but 10 days or 2 weeks would not be unreasonable request.
In what manner would you distinguish the two cases cited by Justice Doggett where you made reference to the recent U.S. Supreme Court case in the Northeast?
It was actually a denying of cert.
Denying cert.
The Georgia Supreme Court case.
I believe, Your Honor, that in all of those cases there was activity beyond the mere speech and picketing that occurred. In all of those cases there was activity where there was blockage of the ingress and egress of the clinics. The courts rendered an injunction that prevented people to keep away from a zone of entering the clinics because there was blockage that was going on. There was not only blockage, but there was physical confrontations between the picketers and the people who were attempting to enter the clinics. None of those situations occurred here.
Was there any blockage of his driveway?
No, sir. There was not. And it was stipulated at trial. There was no evidence of any blockage of the driveway. When Dr. Aquino wished to use his driveway or come home, it was opened up and he was permitted to go back and forth. There was no blockage of the streets. There was no blockage of any of the other driveways in front of the other homes in which the picketing occurred. So those factual situations differ here. Had there been confrontations, physical confrontations, or had there been loud and raucous noise, or those other situations, then the court may have been able to fashion a remedy by means of injunction to prevent the a nuisance, as Justice Heck raised, or loud and raucous noise, as Justice Doggett raised, a trespass, and got a blockage or ingress.
You say there was no physical confrontation. There's no physical contact between any of the picketers and anyone desiring to enter or leave the premises.
That's correct, Your Honor. There was none. I do recall, Your Honor, that in the record, Dr. Aquino came out and asked the picketers what they were doing. And because they did not want to engage in any kind of confrontation, they did not respond to his questions. Their picket was silent. They did not engage in conversation. They did not get in a yelling match with them in the front yard of his home. It was totally a silent picket.
Did the remaining privacy rights implicated by the fact that apparently the picketers did try to monitor, at least there's evidence that they tried to monitor the activities of Dr. Aquino and other people inside the residence?
I believe, Your Honor, that the evidence on that was that they were taking a mini-cam and that they were filming the picket in their own protection in order that they could have a visualization and photographs of what was occurring at the residence in case that there was any lawsuit that was filed or allegations made, but that they were not able to intrude upon with the mini-cam into the actual home of Dr. Aquino.
Did the police monitor each of these picket or demonstration?
I do know, Your Honor, that the police were present in at least two or three of the pickets. I cannot say from the record if they were there each and every occasion. A police officer testified at the trial that he was present, that they observed the picket, that the picket was peaceful, and that he saw no violation of any of the City of Corpus Christi ordinances. If he had seen a violation, he would have taken action to cite the picketers.
If you chose to submit additional briefing concerning the historical development of the free speech rights under the Texas Constitution, and this court chose to decide this issue under the Texas Constitution, it, of course, would not be necessary, would it, for us to distinguish Frisbee or Northeast Women's Center or the Hirsch against Atlanta case?
I don't think that it would be necessary if the court decided that the protections of the Texas Constitution went beyond the protections of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Do you believe they do?
I believe, Your Honor, that the Texas Constitution has a mandate to the state to protect free speech, whereas the First Amendment is a prohibition upon state interference. And there is a difference there. And the difference being that in our case of our state, that this court and the state has a mandate to protect the freedom of conscience and the freedom of a person to speak that conscience. Whereas in the First Amendment situation, as the court's well aware, there is a prohibitory regulation as to states coming in and trying to infringe upon that speech right.
You generally share with reference to the scope of the First Amendment 1, Section 8 of the Texas Constitution, the views Justice Gonzalez has expressed in a prior concurrence to an opinion in this court concerning the greater scope of that.
I believe that is correct, Your Honor, and I recall that opinion, and I'm sorry that I can't recall the exact facts of that particular opinion, but I do concur that it is broader than the First Amendment.
Whether done under the Texas Constitution or under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, is it correct that the position that you are advocating applies across the board and would also prevent an injunction against peaceful picketing by a pro-choice group in front of the home of one of the members of this court who had expressed views previously concerning Roe against Wade that were unsatisfactory to that pro-choice group?
Under the exact same factual situation, the First Amendment would protect that activity.
And with reference to the answer you gave me previously concerning not reviewing a decision based on the Texas Constitution unless another federal right was implicated. You'll recall that in the Northeast Women's Center case, there was at least some suggestion that because the activity involved, though certainly far more extensive than that involved here, was addressed toward preventing a woman's right to obtain an abortion, that it brought into conflict an interest that was implicated from Roe against Wade concerning that right. Do you think that in this case we're called upon to consider or weigh any right that an individual may have concerning abortion?
No, sir. And the reason why is because in that particular case, the activity that was occurring at a clinic where abortions were being performed. The argument made by the abortion clinic in that particular case was that there was interference with a woman's right to seek and obtain the abortion in the particular facility that was being picketed because of the blockage of the facility for ingress and egress by the picketers. That's not what is occurring here. There are no abortions that are being performed in Dr. Aquino's home.
But wasn't the whole purpose of this protest to prevent abortion?
No, sir. The purpose of the protest was to bring public awareness to the fact that Dr. Aquino was a person who performed abortions. It was to bring a public awareness of the abortion issue, which is an issue of great debate within our society. But it was not to prevent abortions. It could not prevent abortions by mere speech and by mere walking down the sidewalk. Would in no way prevent an abortion in that particular facility. The distinction is that in the Northeast Women's Clinic case, there was evidence of blockage of the entrance and ingress and egress to the facility, and that was where the actual performance of the abortions was occurring.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear arguments from respondents.
May it please the court, Mr. Frank Weatherford will present arguments for the respondent.
May it please the court, before getting into a brief description of what I consider to be some very, very important facts that have not been mentioned yet this morning, I would like to respond to Mr. Justice Doggett's question about whether there would be a need to distinguish Frisbee were this court to address the issue solely under Article 1, Section 8 of the Texas Constitution, which, by the way, I believe very strongly has been waived, as I pointed out to the court, not only was the issue never raised by the defendants, either in the trial court or in the Court of Appeals, except for a generic reference to Article 1, Section 8, but when we cited to the Court of Appeals, based upon Texas lower court decisions, the proposition that the First Amendment and Article 1, Section 8 are coextensive with respect to their reach and their analysis, there was no challenge to the proposition. The Court of Appeals took that position. There was no challenge to that position taken by the Court of Appeals. So we certainly think that it has been waived, although I did file a pre-submission brief anticipating that the question would come up. Mr. Justice Doggett, it is my opinion that even were this court to address the issue solely under the Texas Constitution, Frisbee would necessarily have to be distinguished because of the reasoning in the Frisbee case, which is universal. The Frisbee case is not a novel application of constitutional law or First Amendment doctrine. It is not a novel case. The Frisbee case grows out of a tradition in this country that has always recognized that First Amendment freedoms are by no means absolute, and that at some point First Amendment freedoms have to stop and other freedoms have to start. The overriding principle which permeates this entire line of cases is what I'd like to refer to as the principle of compatibility. And I refer the court to the Granite case, which is cited in almost all of the briefs before the court. Many, many years ago, the United States Supreme Court recognized that certain forms of speech are inherently incompatible with certain places. That is the doctrine of compatibility. Frisbee is merely a common sense application of the principle of compatibility. It is our position in this case, as it was the position of the doctor in the Frisbee case, as it was the position of the doctor in the Klebenhoff case out of the state of Pennsylvania, that there is an inherent incompatibility between the exercise of focused picketing before a residence because of the notion of the right of privacy.
Mr. Weatherett, you see no distinction at all between the Frisbee's case and the case and the facts of this case?
Absolutely not, Your Honor, except for the fact that Frisbee involved an ordinance.
Isn't that a major distinction?
Well, it is a distinction, if anything, Justice Gonzalez. I believe an ordinance is more questionable than an injunction. An injunction allows a court, an arm of the state, to fine-tune a situation involving a clash of two very important rights. An ordinance, on the other hand, sweeps with an extremely broad brush throughout an entire community and cannot possibly take into account the varying fact patterns that may exist with respect to different neighborhoods. This injunction is a fine-tuning of the balancing between First Amendment and the right of privacy in connection with the principle of compatibility.
What makes this neighborhood special? The fact that it's all residential or a cul-de-sac or wealthy or...
What I mean, Mr. Chief Justice, is that you have distance differences in different neighborhoods. Some homes may be very far back from the sidewalk. Some homes will not have a large cul-de-sac in front of the home, as Dr. Aquino's house does. There are simply factual differences that I believe better.
Are you trying to argue that some of these factual differences cut in favor of the injunction in this case specifically, or are you just saying, as a general rule, injunction is preferable because various factors can be considered?
I'm saying both. I'm saying, as a general rule, an injunction is a better way to handle the situation because it can be more fine-tuned and fact-honed into the specific situation involved where you have a clash of two very important rights. But I'm also saying that the specific facts in this case make a very compelling case for the injunction because of the fact that Dr. Aquino's house, his front door is not very far from the sidewalk. And in addition, there is a large cul-de-sac in front of his house, which essentially allows focused picketing from as far away as several hundred feet, which may seem to someone who lives on a street with a house immediately across the street from them as being a somewhat unusually large distance. But with a cul-de-sac in front of Dr. Aquino's house, this is a factual distinction. This is a factual element of Dr. Aquino's neighborhood which makes the compelling case for an injunction.
Well, in that regard, your original fine-tuned injunction in this case was within a half a mile of his home, was it not?
Your Honor, the temporary injunction sought and obtained.
And that was reduced then to 400 feet from
yes,
the
Your
center
Honor.
Line in this case. Were there any fact findings to justify the specific size of the 400-foot protected zone?
There were no findings of fact were requested, Your Honor, of the trial court. The facts which are relevant to the 400 feet I submit to the court are basically twofold. Number one is the cul-de-sac I have just described, and that is in the record. There are several exhibits, both from the plaintiff's side and the defendant's side, visualizing for the court the rather large cul-de-sac in front of his front door.
Do they contain measurements?
No, Your Honor, they do not contain measurements.
So we don't know where 400 feet runs to?
It is readily ascertainable, Your Honor, where 400 feet would run to, because in any courthouse in the state, it's my understanding that there's a subdivision plat which a draftsman or a surveyor can take measurements off of from the center point of the property. and the injunction in fact instructs that 400 feet is to be determined from the center point of Dr. Aquino's property. I believe it would be relatively easy for the defendants to then translate those measurements onto the ground to determine where the zone ended.
Mr. Weathered, if the defendant's name in this injunction were to go today, tomorrow or the next day, to the same area they were in that gave rise to this lawsuit and has signs that said, Dr. Aquino is a jolly good fellow, would they be in violation of the injunction?
Yes,
that,
Your
you
Honor.
that you seek to enforce?
Yes, Your Honor. They would be in violation of the injunction because the injunction bans picketing activity within 400 feet of the center point of his property. Picketing is not described, is not defined in the injunction. However,
let me give you another hypothetical. Assuming 10 or 20 other pro-lifers went to Dr. Aquino's in front of his home, the identical area in this particular case, would they be involved and had the same sign and engaged in the same conduct that the defendant's name of this injunction engaged in, would they be in violation of an injunction?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because they were not parties to the trial court proceeding.
So this injunction is only as to these particular defendants?
This injunction is a very limited injunction.
So anybody else can engage in rights of free speech except these defendants?
That is true, subject to Dr. Aquino's right to seek an injunction against those folks as well. And as the Fifth Circuit pointed out in the Pickens versus Oklahoma School District case, that does not taint an injunction for constitutional purposes, that it only addresses the parties before the court. In fact, Mr. Justice Gonzalez, the Fifth Circuit characterized the argument made by the picketers in the Pickens case as totally without merit, because by definition, a trial court can only act with respect to the parties before it, which Judge Hunter in this case properly so did. I would like to point out to the court some very important facts which haven't come out yet today,
Before you do so, I gather then your response to Justice Gonzalez's first question, you would also agree then with the accuracy of Justice Stevens' dissent in Frisbee that it would, under Frisbee and under your injunction, it would also ban the kind of sign, "Get well, Charlie, your team needs you." If someone were out there with a sign that said that.
Theoretically, it would, but as a practical matter, I doubt very seriously if Dr. Aquino or any other resident would take that matter to court.
Well, let me, since we're talking about different factual situations, whether Dr. Aquino's bay window hung over the sidewalk or he was on a cul-de-sac or on a lot that was 5 acres from the street, suppose with me that Dr. Aquino was a slumlord and that the tenants of his tenement were there raising questions about housing conditions. What more appropriate place to have the kind of silent demonstration than right in front of his house?
I agree completely.
So it's the content of this protest and not the protest that you think is appropriate for injunction?
It is not the content so much as, with respect to your hypothetical, there are cases on point with respect to that hypothetical where courts have allowed peaceful picketing of a residence of a slumlord. Those cases went off on the fact that they couldn't even find the slumlord anywhere else to picket him. His home was the only place they had available to picket that slumlord. This ties in with the three-part test which was enunciated by the Supreme Court in Frisbee as to whether a prohibition on peaceful picketing of a residence is constitutional or not, because the third prong of that test is whether the prohibition leaves open ample alternatives for the defendants to get their message across. So in the slumlord case, they had no ample alternative.
So
that was the only place where they could go.
If the slumlord had an office downtown, they should be restricted to that.
They should be restricted to the slumlord's office downtown, just like the picketers in this case have been allowed since 1982 to picket Dr. Aquino's clinics in Corpus Christi. Dr. Aquino has endured years of picketing at his clinic, yet has never objected. And in addition to that, The
well, that may be true, but I gather your answer is that if he were a slumlord, as long as he had an office somewhere else, no right of any tenant in that slum tenement to go and picket in front of his house.
If the picketing is focused
on his house, just like the picketing, exactly like the picketing in this case.
Yes, Your Honor. If it constitutes an invasion of the slumlord's privacy, and the slumlord has an office elsewhere, they should focus their picketing on his office. But here are the things that they can do at the slumlord's house and in the slumlord's neighborhood, which are the same things that the defendants can do in this case. They can leaflet from door to door. They can seek to hand out pamphlets to the slumlord's neighbors, as they can seek to hand out pamphlets to Dr. Aquino's neighbors. They can have a more generalized march through the neighborhood, as long as it is not focused upon the slumlord's house or Dr. Aquino's house.
Why should this court get involved in advising in what form these parties choose to exercise their free speech rights?
Because when you have a clash between freedom of speech rights and other rights, such as the very important right of residential privacy, which, by the way, the right of privacy was recognized by the Supreme Court many, many years ago, and cases have held since then that an intrusion into the right of privacy, which includes the right to live a life of seclusion in this crowded and complicated world, can be enjoined, that the trial court has the power to do that. And this court also held many years ago.
Are these cases in your brief?
Yes, Your Honor. The Supreme Court held in the Cain and Brogdon case in 1940 that even peaceful picketing can be enjoined by a court if even one of its purposes is in violation of a public policy. And that public policy may be declared either by the courts or by the legislature. And this court has declared it to be the public policy of this state that the citizens of Texas have a right to live a life of seclusion. And courts throughout the United States, not just the federal courts, I would point out that the Pennsylvania court in the Klebenhoff case, which adopted the Frisbee court's analysis in balancing these rights and determining that you could enjoin focused picketing upon a doctor's residence, is in a state with an affirmative grant of freedom of speech, just like the Texas Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has held in more than one case that their Constitution does provide greater freedom of speech than the First Amendment.
So long as the exercise of First Amendment rights does not permeate the House as it did in Kovacs against Cooper, and so long as it amounts to little more than what Chief Justice Rehnquist referred to as a stranger lurking outside the door in his dissent in another recent case, how can it be construed as an invasion of privacy of the homeowner?
The reasoning and language of the Frisbee case bears repeating here, Mr. Justice Doggett. To the persons in the home, their home is a citadel. It is a sanctuary from the hustle and bustle of the outside world. The Frisbee case, in saying that, went many years back to the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the King versus City of Wauwatosa case, where they pointed out that no man should have to defend his home as if it were some type of Alamo. And even if it is a perfectly peaceful picket in the physical sense, which we did stipulate to in this case, it is not a peaceful picket in the psychological sense. To the persons living in the home, even if it is silent, and this picket was not silent, by the way, you could hear singing and chanting inside the house. But even if it is a silent picket, even if there is no physical confrontation, no blocking of ingress or egress, no trespass, to the occupants of that home, it is just as much an invasion of their right to live a life of seclusion as if spotlights were turned on or their phones were wiretapped.
Mr. Weatherhead, let me see if I can distill your argument in just one sentence. You're saying that the right to seclusion, this right to privacy, trumps any First Amendment rights in either the U.S. Constitution or Texas Constitution?
It should. I wouldn't use the word trump because Dr. Aquino has great respect for the First Amendment, as I do, and for freedom of speech under the Texas Constitution. We recognize that this is not an easy case when you have a clash of two very important values. Freedom of speech is not trumped in this case because of the reasonably available and ample alternatives which are given to the protesters to get their message across. And in addition, it is content neutral. It does not discriminate on the basis of speech, nor is that its purpose. And it is narrowly tailored to achieve this very important right. It is not a right which automatically trumps freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is just as important. But there has to be some fine-tuning, and it's in the hands of this court to fine-tune it for purposes of the people of the state of Texas. And we believe that Judge Hunter properly fine-tuned the balance, the delicate balancing act in this case with his injunction. He followed the Frisbee line of reasoning.
But as you say it's content neutral, but as you concede earlier, it's not too likely that if Mr. Valenzuela were out saying something like, get well, your team beat you, that anybody would object to that.
That is more than likely the case.
Part of the reason where this case is where it is because of the content of the speech and the way that it has been directed.
This is true. But every court which
that doesn't address his right to do it, though.
I'm sorry?
That does not address his right to do it, whether he would do it or not.
Absolutely.
That's not the question. The question is, would he be entitled to it?
And he would be entitled to say that anywhere in the world, except if he is focusing it upon Dr. Aquino's property. And every court which has addressed this issue, not only in the federal system, in New York with the Walensky case, which is not cited in our brief, but I will provide in post-submission briefing, in the King versus City of Wauwatosa case, in the DeMoor case, the Pipefitters versus DeMoor case, in the Klavenhoff case out of Pennsylvania, all of these cases have held that in this situation, it is content neutral, despite the fact that you cannot escape the fact that the content of the message had something to do in the beginning in animating the situation in the first place.
Are there any questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court, thankfully this is not the only court that has struggled with the competing interest involved between the rights of residential privacy as been asserted by my opposing counsel and the right of First Amendment speech. The United States Supreme Court struggled with this issue in the Frisbee versus Schultz case. I call to the court's attention the ultimate holding of that court in that case, and I would like to read just one sentence from that opinion, which states forward in what situation and under what circumstances the United States Supreme Court will allow the First Amendment to yield to the right of residential privacy. After discussing the rights of privacy in residential areas, the Supreme Court of the United States accordingly said, and this is on 2501 of the opinion, accordingly we construe the ban to be a limited one in construing this ordinance. Only focused picketing occurring or taking place solely in front of a particular residence is prohibited by that ordinance. And they construed it that way upon representation from the city's council before the court. When the case was remanded, when the case went back to Wisconsin from which it came, citations were issued to people who had picketed in front of the doctor's home or in the residential neighborhood. I have attached in our response to the plaintiff's application a copy of that decision in which the court dismissed the citations because of the fact that there was no proof that the picketing in that case occurred solely in front of the residence of the doctor. That is a requirement
in order for the First Amendment to yield to whatever privacy interest rights may exist. That is a requirement if you have an ordinance, which we don't even have in this particular situation.
Counseling your first argument, you had quite a bit to say about the harmlessness, that's my choice of word, of this picketing, that you did not, that the picketers did not in any way violate an ordinance, that there was no noise or anything that would be interpreted as in violation of disturbance of the peace. But the issue here, as I understand it, is the negligent infliction of emotional distress. And I, even though it might be silent, do you concede that there is any possibility that with picketing that it does not intrude in a physical way can still intrude to the, in the sense of inflicting emotional distress? That's the whole point.
It is, Your Honor, and that's the cause of action that the plaintiff selected. As I pointed out in my brief and in my argument, the plaintiff did not select other causes of action which the plaintiff could have tried their case on, and they chose the negligent infliction of mental distress. I call the court's attention to the Falwell versus Hustler case, which is cited in our brief, in which the United States Supreme Court dealt with a situation very similar to this case, in which Hustler intentionally inflicted mental anguish on Jerry Falwell, a well-known evangelical Christian evangelist. In that particular case, the Supreme Court of the United States said this is really a defamation action. It is not a negligent infliction of mental anguish action. The reason being that the conduct which is being complained about is speech. And if your speech defames a person or is libelous or slanderous to a person, certainly you can recover damages. And the Supreme Court analyzed it under the defamatory, the law revolving defamation, and decided in that particular case.
Well, we understand that speech can be activity, whether there's anything articulated or not, such as the picketing here is an activity you claim the protection of free speech provisions of the Constitution. So are you saying, though, that any kind of non-intrusive activity cannot have an infliction of emotional distress without intrusive activity, speech, or contact or something of that matter?
You cannot, unless the speech falls within one of the established parameters of First Amendment liability, which is defamation, libel, and slander, or that the speech is not covered by the First Amendment if it's lewd, profane, or obscene. Therefore, you do not have the protections. Those are the situations in which the courts of this country have said that a person may recover damages in the case of another person's speech. It is only in those situations.
But you're saying that activity, non-intrusive activity, protected by the free speech provisions of the Constitution, cannot cause emotional distress.
I'm not saying that it cannot cause emotional distress in the sense of an evidentiary standard. I'm saying it is not recoverable in a court of law unless it is defamatory, libelous, or slanderous, or is obscene and not protected by the First Amendment. It is only in those limited circumstances that our courts have permitted plaintiffs to recover for speech that has occurred. And I would point out to the court that every aspect of speech, the wearing of black armbands by the Teacher students in Des Moines was an activity. The burning of the flag by Johnson in Texas versus Johnson was an activity. It was expressive conduct. And our court has long held that that type of activity, although it involves speech and symbolism and expression, is protected by the First Amendment.
Counsel, that was relatively unfocused activity, however, not directed at a specific residence and a specific family. Here you've had for years, apparently, without objection, the picketing of Dr. Aquino's clinic. This was directed at him. This was directed at his professional practices. This was a specific issue that the picketer concerned about. That specific place where this activity was performed. On the other hand, now they move into the neighborhood, not just the neighborhood, but in front of the house. The injunction doesn't say they can't go into the neighborhood. injunction says you can't focus it on his house and that cul-de-sac. You've got to stay 400 feet away from the center line of his property. You can leaf with his neighbors. You can hand out pamphlets and what have you. You can go back and pick at his clinic all you want to. But this is his citadel of family privacy. This is an assault on his family domain. This is not an assault on his professional activity that you object to. And weren't the recoveries, and I don't recall exactly the recoveries, were they for Dr. Aquino specifically, the specific target of the picking, or were they made on behalf of his family?
The damage recovery, Your Honor, were on behalf of him, his wife, and his family. And there was a separate issue submitted as to each one of those.
But was there evidence that, in fact, they had suffered
emotional
distress as a result of this activity?
We have not challenged the evidence with respect to the
fact
that...
What right do the picketers have to inflict that on them?
The First Amendment right to speak in a public place, even though, and the cases are legion, even though the activity may cause a person to be to create anxiety, even though it may be coercive, the right to speak is protected by the First Amendment irrespective of that.
So without limitation?
The limitations are defamation, libel, and slander, or non-protected speech such as obscene speech.
Is it correct that none of the four instances which gave rise to these damages occurred, none of this picketing occurred in contravention of any court injunction?
That's correct, Your Honor. There is no violation of the injunction.
You have suggested once again that we try to work around the Frisbee decision. Hasn't the Frisbee rationale, the interpretation of the city ordinance as applying only to picketing in front of one house rather than a ban on all residential picketing, been pretty universally condemned by the commentators that have evaluated the Frisbee case?
Your Honor, I am familiar with commentators who have said that Frisbee was a good analysis. I have also read articles that say that Frisbee was a bad analysis from a First Amendment standpoint. There has been commentators on both sides of the fence who have said that we need to elevate the right of privacy in residential areas beyond the First Amendment, and then those who are First Amendment, who love the First Amendment, who fight for the First Amendment, who say that we cannot allow it to yield to that other privacy interest, given the restrictions that the court set forth in the Frisbee decision.
While you would welcome this court distinguishing your case from Frisbee, do you agree that Frisbee is wrong?
In my opinion, Frisbee is a violation of the First Amendment and is wrong, but it is the law of the land, and I can only argue the law of the land.
It's the law of the land with reference to the
First Amendment, but
fortunately not with reference to the Texas Constitution.
You're absolutely correct, Your Honor. I would point out to the court that at the trial court level, we submitted an issue. The defendant submitted an issue for the jury to decide, and the issue was, did the picketing in this case take place solely in front of the plaintiff's residence? That is part and parcel of the plaintiff's cause of action to show an exception to the First Amendment claim that is being made or defense. That issue was denied by the trial court and was never submitted to the jury, although the issue of focus picketing was. But Frisbee has two prongs, focus picketing and occurring solely in front of the residence. It would be inconceivable that an injunction entered by a district court could enjoin activity outside the parameters of Frisbee and beyond Frisbee, given the Supreme Court's close analysis of this situation in Frisbee and its decision that only upon the narrow interpretation of Frisbee will it survive First Amendment challenge. I'd like to point out only, do I have
any
time?
No, the red light means you're out of time unless you can provoke a question.
I'm out of time yet.
All right. Any other questions? That concludes the arguments for the morning. The foregoing comments are submitted on briefs and oral arguments, and Marshall will now please adjourn the court.
The audience will please rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court of Texas now stands adjourned.